Did Russia hack election systems? Comey testifies to the Senate, and a Ukrainian power grid is downed by crash override. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings! I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for June 13, 2017. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Real quick, make sure to hit that subscribe button and hit that little notification bell button right below to see the show as soon as it goes live. And make sure to check out patreon.com/threatwire to see how you can support the show. It's a really great way to contribute to lots of your favorite podcasts. I do it myself. I am totally gung-ho for it. On to the news. I realize some folks out there may hate this story, but since it involved information security, I am reporting on it. If you don't like to hear about anything involving government affiliations with regards to InfoSec, please skip to this time code in the episode. No matter who you voted for, we all want to know the truth in regards to hacks, and that is why we do what we do. Please respect your fellow commenters. On June 5th, The Intercept posted a top-secret NSA document that detailed more information about Russian hacking just before the 2016 U.S. election. Since that day, much has transpired around this document and the person that leaked it. For starters, the document was dated May 5th, 2017, so it is very new, and it details how Russian actors of the Russian General Staff Main Intelligence Directorate, which is the GRU for short, used spear phishing emails against over 100 election officials right before the election, and how they attacked a voting software supplier in August. The document explains what was done, but doesn't go into detail on the technical aspects of any hack attempts. To work, the phishing campaign got victim users to click on a malicious link that looked like a Google alert email. According to the NSA doc, it is likely at least one target was compromised out of 7 potential victims. Along with this, the spear phishing campaign used a Microsoft Word document with a Trojan written in Visual Basic to create a PowerShell instance on the target machine. The same actors created email addresses to offer election-related products, or so they say, which would most likely be used later on for more spear phishing. The NSA suspects the management of voter registration systems were the targets, and while not specified clearly, the document does reference products made by VR Systems in Florida, which was the most likely target. VR Systems is in charge of running the software and devices that tell election officials who can vote on which election day. If attackers were successful in hacking a company like VR Systems, implications could be rather huge. They could potentially cause voters to not be able to vote on election day by editing information on a voter registration database. But since a company like VR Systems only contracts out to counties in a few different states, the systems are very decentralized. The NSA doesn't draw any conclusions in regards to what information could have been compromised or if it had any effect on the outcome of the election. Prior to this leaked document, Russian President Vladimir Putin denied any Russian involvement in hacking foreign elections. Previously, the Obama administration had released reports in January, which we also reported on regards to election hacking, concluding that Russian actors were involved in propaganda efforts. The information from this new document was made based on details the NSA acquired in April of 2017 after that first report. About an hour after the leaked NSA docs were posted on The Intercept, the DOJ announced the arrest of Reality Winner, a 25-year-old intelligence contractor at her home in Augusta, Georgia, accusing her of violating her clearance by leaking the document. She printed the document on May 9th and mailed it to The Intercept, but also had emailed The Intercept from her work computer, though the subject of those emails is unknown. The Intercept shared the document with the NSA, asking for confirmation on its authenticity. The NSA then noticed creases, making them suspicious that it was printed, which they later confirmed by checking printer logs. By checking the document against the, quote, fingerprints made from the printer in question, I didn't even know fingerprints existed on printers, that's crazy, they could also determine the date, time, and serial number of the printer used. In an affidavit on the case, if found guilty, she would be fined or imprisoned for up to 10 years, or both. Winner admitted to an FBI agent that she indeed did print and mail the classified information to The Intercept, and as of recording, the date of her trial has not been set. Published today, June 13th, was a report from Bloomberg on the severity of Russian hacks into U.S. election systems. The article does not provide name sources, but it does say details were provided by three people with direct knowledge of the U.S. investigation. The article claims that 39 states were hit by hacks on election systems, and the Obama administration stepped in to warn the Kremlin that it could create a broader conflict if hacks did not cease. Eric Schultz, a spokesman for former President Obama, explained that they had detected intrusions into websites run by election officials, and they wanted to work with both parties to bolster cyber defenses into the system. According to Bloomberg, the DHS sent teams to affected states to work on those defenses. Former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson said on August 3, 2016, that they wanted to declare state election systems as national critical infrastructure, but this was not finalized until after the election on January 6, 2017. On October 1st, the DHS offered help to state election officials to strengthen their defenses. All of this is according to statements on the DHS website, which for some reason Bloomberg didn't link to, but were easily found online and linked below. Going along with the whole Russia hacking election system story is Comey's investigation, firing, and subsequent Senate testimony. We have already covered the FBI investigation, the Clinton email hacks, and Comey's firing back in May, which in turn resulted in the Senate testimony in early June. During the testimony, Comey explained that he made memos of his private meetings with Trump and how Trump asked him for a pledge of loyalty, along with asking him to look past Michael Flynn's transgressions on Russian ties. According to Comey's testimony, Trump also requested that Comey back down from investigations into Flynn and the administration. His hearing left a lot of questions unanswered, or they were broad enough that biased minds could fill in the rest. Though during the event, Comey also chose to stay silent on some questions in regards to Trump colluding with Russia, and said he could not answer them in an open setting. After the public testimony, Comey went into a private hearing, which we will likely not see any outcomes of for several months. First, we had Stuxnet, and now we have Crash Override, also known as Indestroyer. Indestroyer is malware that was used 7 months ago to take down a Ukrainian power grid for about an hour, which thrust 230,000 people into darkness. Now cybersecurity firms ESET and Dragos Inc. are sharing research which they believe shows that outages may have just been a test of the malware's capabilities. The toolkit is modular, meaning that it can be adapted to best fit its victims and can exploit four different protocols that are used as standards in industrial systems across Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. According to the researchers, it could also be used against some systems in the United States. The malware includes three different parts. There's a port scanner, a file wiper, and two backdoors. It's not designed to destroy, but to disrupt critical infrastructure. It also has a time bomb, so that could be used as a specific time tuned to the attacker's preference. Researchers believe the attacker has lots of knowledge on how the industry works, which ties into its ability to be used against several different protocols. They also believe that the attacks derive from a Russian cyber group, though that has not been confirmed. Thanks again to all the fine people who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. If you can spare a bit of change, it all helps keep Threatwire completely independent and ad-free. We now have an audio-only RSS feed, there's extra content, and there's early access for our patrons. We might even feature your fur baby, like this brand new one, in an upcoming episode. Super cute, thank you so much for sharing. And remember, patrons, to share your security-focused news stories in the Patreon community tab to get featured in the show. And of course, if you cannot donate, that's totally cool too. You can hit that subscribe button or share this episode on your favorite social media page. Make sure to use the hashtag ThreatWire so that we can see it and we will retweet you. With that, I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet.
Thank you.